Mishnah Samachay on page 552. So we did yesterday the Hakdama. There are three different. There are three. We did already 2 days with the Hakdama. Are we discussing a mizmor of praise? Are we discussing the story of there was a famine in the land for 3 years, or is this just a general description of praise? Okay, or galus? We have to really keep focus. We'll focus on the Radak for a moment. The Radak says Hamizmor Hazeh Nemar Al Hagalus. Okay, and then when it says L'chadumia, Dumia means we wait patiently for you, Hashem. Doim L'Hashem V'Hischelov. And then we learn the parish of the Rid. The Rid just said this is the general Mizmor of Shevach to Hashem, of praise to Hashem. And was there a third shot? I've got a third shot. The Malbum said, we have to do the Malbum inside. I told her of Kalm, we'll do the Malbum inside. And the Malbum said this was right, that was the fam. It was during the fam. Okay, so let's.
Tehillah is like man. The Tehillah is done.
The Dumi. What we learned yesterday in the Mitzuda is that less is more. Less is more. And we learned to review this principle of Rashi. We tried to read this into Rashi. Rashi says the word dumiya is two words, doim and ka. And we made a differentiation between the word l'cha and ka. L'cha captures the totality of Hashem, and ka just captures just a prat, one small element of Hashem. And when we want to attempt to praise Hashem in his entirety, l'cha, that does not work, because Hashem is infinite, and it is impossible for a person to be Messiah l'kulei shvachei. But if a person wants to praise an aspect, an element of ka, then sehila, then since it's very clear the person is not making an attempt to praise the Hashem in an entirety, then it is permissible. All right, so Rav Kalman, you mentioned over here the Malbum. So let's see the Malbum. L'amatzeach, let's read the Pasuk Aleph and Beis. L'amatzeach husel birchas hagashamim asher nosen Hashem achrei harav. We learned this yesterday, that according to the Malbum, the context of this Mizmor is a famine. There was 3 years of famine, and when the 3 years of famine were over, David composed this Mizmor giving Shevach to Hashem. And you learn from this lesson, I said yesterday, is that when the person suffers a tzara, and the tzara comes to an end, then it's appropriate to reciprocate to Hashem. Let's read the next pasuk. Sorry? I don't know. How many times was there a...
How many times what?
Was there a famine in the lifetime of David? How many separate... Only
in the lifetime of David.
Okay.
10 altogether.
Ooh. Okay, 10 famines. One during Avraham. Okay, where else?
Actually, a second.
And then there was one during a Yitzchak. Yitzchak also, right? Yitzchak. Okay, they were out. There's a medesh. Where's the medesh? During Achav also, during Elisha.
By Rus,
that's right. It's a very interesting topic to analyze all the 10 famines, make a sefer. Rabbi Michal maybe put out a sefer, analyzing the differences and the lessons to learn from the 10 famines. There are 10 nisyonis, maise of a simin labanim. Avraham had 10 nisyonis, and Avraham is the Av Hamoin Goyim. And that means there are 10 nisyonis in world history. Avraham is Av HaMoin Goyim. Avraham is the Av of Klal Yisrael. If Avraham had 10 tests, that means in history the world in Klal Yisrael will be tested 10 times.
There are a lot of those.
Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael has been tested probably by now a lot more than 10 times. There have been so many different...
No, but you have to have a
pasuk
to support that.
Okay, so let's see pasuk beis. Let's see inside in the Malbum, page 5, 5, 3. Malbum pasuk beis l'cha dumiya sila mitzayer es atihila ke'etzem mufshat. Over here, David is describing praise as a noun, an etzem mufshat, and something like a noun. Normally, they say a shem davar. is a noun, a shame davar, but here he has a different, this is not Rashi. This is the Malbim. And the Malbim has his own terminology. And his terminology, it seems that for a noun is an etzem, means the essence. Atzmeut. Etzem. Etzem means the essence. Mufshat. It's plain. Mufshat, I guess, in this context means in its simplest, in its purest, pure. Let's use the word pure. Its purest essence. In its purest form. Etzem will translate as form. And Mufshat means pure. We are describing your praise in its...
It's not the substance. The concept of praise.
The concept of praise in its purest form. And you want to translate the word ke'etzem mufshat as a concept. I'm commonly saying the translation of these two words is, in English, is a concept. And what is the kind...
A bone that's mufshat.
You want to say mufshat means peeled off?
Etzem
means the essence. Essence in its simplest form. In its purest...
It's an etzem mufshat. It's something that was totally exposed.
So I'm not so sure the word mufshat. Mufshat means to be, okay, you want to peel it off. Okay, I hear you. You want to uncover it. Look what's going on inside.
It means like getting down to the bare bone.
The bare bone, okay.
Exactly.
The bare bone, the core. The core, we are trying so hard to translate the words of the Malbim. the core of praise. Pshat, like I always tell you, from a simple salvation, pshat does not mean, oh, it's simple. Pshat comes from what it says in the Torah by a karban, v'hifshit es ha'ila. What is v'hifshit es ha'ila? To flay the skin. So what do you do when you flay? You open it up. You have an animal. You look at it on the outside. And now you take off the skin to see what is underneath. Look at the organs. Look at the fats. Look at the sinews, the blood vessels. From the outside, you don't see any of this. But when you open up, you pull off the skin. When you pull off the skin, then you can see what is underneath the surface. So that means there's no such thing, according to you translate the word v'hifshit, means let's get down to the core of what the pasuk or what a concept means. That's not necessarily going to be what it looks like from the outside. From the outside, a person walks into a doctor's office, he looks like the picture of health. And then when the doctor does some tests and the results come back, this person is deathly ill. So from the outside, it's deceiving as to what a person really looks like. And it's only when you uncover. So there's really no such thing in understanding a chazal to mean the simple understanding, because there is no simple understanding. Even pshat means what is going on underneath the hood. Getting back to the Malbim, mitzayer es ha'tehila be'etzem mufshat, and it's conceptually or its purest form, or like a bone that has been beared. That before you Hashem, that praise before Hashem stands silent, and there is nothing that comes out b'fiha. Even though that it would appear, we would be misled to believe that praise automatically includes speech, words that are spoken and expressed in praise. That's what we would think. However, lifanecha, but before you, Hashem, nitzeves, it stands dumiya, silent. Maybe in front of a human being, when you praise a human being, it captures the idea of speech and nice, kind words. But when you take the word tehillah and you apply it to Hashem, l'cha, that's how he is explaining the word l'cha. Just say, Dumiya Sehila Elohim. Why does it say over here the word L'cho? According to the Malbim, we're coming to contrast praise in reference to human beings versus praise to Hashem. When praise is expressed to human beings, then it connotes words and nice things. But L'cho, when you want to go use that term to Kinei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then do miyah sihila. Tehillah is silence. No? Silence.
Okay, let me put this thing down.
Okay, let's go further. Now, the Omer Shlofanecha Tamar Tehillah D'Memetz Be'in De'in Davar B'Fiha Shagam She'inyin Tehillah. The next line. The Hamalitza. What is the message? What is the metaphor? What are we trying to bring out here? This that we cannot find something appropriate to say good about Hashem, that itself is Tehillah Secha. Ki ata miroimam mikol bracha u'stehillah, because you're above and beyond. In other words, whatever you're going to say is cheap. You know, don't kill. It's like you can kill someone with faint praise. Like someone comes and gives it. And so whatever you're going to say is just going to be a letdown. That's an expression. Someone delivers does something that's phenomenal, and you say, "All right, not bad." So it's horrible. And you know, there are examples. I once read this in certain Balim. It's very, very true. If you are mechadish something in learning, and a vart on the parsha. Okay, a vart, and to you the vart resonates.
I remember my father-in-law was a rabbi, also. He was a great speaker. As a young man in English, so misread me, couldn't speak.
Say that in English. Not the speakers. Nishredin is don't speak, yeah?
No. It's
why don't you just say it again? Come, say it again.
So Nishredin couldn't
speak.
It doesn't come to it.
It's not speaking, it doesn't come to that level.
If you say it, it's not. You know how to.
I don't understand.
Not speaking
that you achieve with violence, you're saying you can achieve much
more. It doesn't come to.
Whatever you're going to say, it doesn't.
Doesn't come to not speak.
Right, okay. Better not to say. Because you're going to ruin it. You're going
to
ruin
it.
You can kill someone. I read this somewhere about it. So I don't know if it's true or not, but as a marshal, the person, you see this. I definitely feel this, have this experience sometimes, is when you know of an idea, let's say in learning. You're learning, and either you're mechadesh something, or you came across an idea, you heard an inspirational speaker say a vart, and the vart that you heard, or you were mechadesh, it resonates deeply with yourself. And you are in a very generous, good, giving mood, and you want to tell it over to someone. You come, you tell your friends, I heard this vart, it's the best vart I've ever heard in my whole life. And it changed my life. And you go and you tell it to someone, and they give you, if you can find the person that will give you the time of day to listen, okay, that'll be a miracle. So without being distracted, and they listen, and they fully absorb what you're saying, if that can even happen, and then they say, I don't like it. You just murdered someone. You know, okay, nice fart. What else is new? What else is going on? You just murdered the person who said the vart, because to him that vart captured it. Every time he thought about it, it lifted him up. And when he sees that in the Welt people don't have that same appreciation, he begins to question himself subconsciously. You know, the vart probably is not so good. I'm just a fool. If a person feels hurt. He feels hurt. And the vart no longer makes an impact on him, because it's contagious. The same way it's something that is good can be contagious, a bad response can boomerang back and can hurt the person who really has value in what he said. I once read this, I don't know if it's true or not, many Gidoyle Yishol, the previous generations, would dafka not write. Or there was a Messiah, I don't know how far this goes, to not write their Chidushei Torah until much later in life. Because the danger of a bad reaction, not because, you know, of the ratings. Today we live in a crazy world, everything is, you know, narcissism. It's all you know about yourself. But the real Baalei Mussar, if they would write Chidushei Torah and people would not appreciate it, it would affect them. It would affect them, and they themselves would no longer believe in what they were mechadish. And it's always like that. The people who people they write svarim. There are people who spend some years working, toiling, producing dvarim chashuvim, and then they go and they publish it, and then someone does a book review, and they say C minus. By the way, who's the person who writes the book reviews? D minus students. Who are you to go write a book? Who are you, a mumcha, to go write a book review? What do you know? I spent my whole life on this, and you write three paragraphs. Big deal. You write, the book is this. Who do you think you are? And it's very painful. Is there someone who just in 10 minutes just wipes you your whole life research?
Even Chazal, when they wrote the Tefillot, they it's all collections from Pesukim, from Tanakh. There's no.
They were not mechadish, right?
They didn't write anything.
But that's a different story. That's a different story because it wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessary because already the Nevi'im already wrote it all.
When you write when you're alive, it's up to debate and controversy with you. If it's given out after you're dead, after you saw so, you can't be fellow on it. It is what it is.
Okay, well, no, I'm not even talking about after lachem misasa. I'm talking about when a person in his own lifetime, it's not always, it's a kol osa yofa bi'itoy. Sometimes doing something too early in time, not in the right time, when it's not yet ready, it's just, the world is not yet ready for, there are certain things that everything is mazel. It's not yet the time when this thing will be appreciated. There are a lot of songs in the world of music. There are many songs. Good morning. There are many in the world of music. There are many songs that were released many, many years ago, and no one paid attention to it. And then years later, suddenly they resurface. And when they resurface with a bang. And how come at the time when they were released, no one appreciated them? You know, that's not the right time. All right, getting back over here, according to the Maal over here, is saying a very beautiful idea, and he's saying is that you can kill someone with feigned praise. If you don't appreciate something at the right time, in the right time, it can be very damaging. So the best thing is say nothing, and let it stand on its own. It's not always a good thing to something is valuable, it will stand, ultimately it will stand on its own. It does not need your praise. All right, let's go further. Now the next part of the Rashi, the Malbim, this part of the Rashi, Luchoy Yishlam Neder. Ha-Neder hu Tamid Kabbalah, she-Mekabal Lassmei al-Tanai, she-Im Yismali ha-Tanai Yishulam ha-Neder. Aval Luchoy ein ha-Neder al-Tanai. Rak Yishulam tekev ki tishu'oscha bevadai tovay. Now this is a very new idea. This, what the Malmav here says, is not what all of the other Mepharshim learn. All the Mepharshim learn l'choy u'l'choy yushulam neder is the all the Mepharshim said the same thing, is that the subject is really us. Us. The subject of these three words, not the Malmav yet, according to everyone else, the subject of these three words is a human being. A human being lives in a linear world. Time. Time is linear. There is a past, a present, and a future. There are three dimensions. And a person has needs. So a person makes a vow. If you, Hashem, will help me, then if you will do something for me in the future, then I will reciprocate and likewise in the future do something for you. So there is a span of time. There is a promise, and then there is a fulfillment. So simply this means, David here is saying, in my life, I had a lot of different issues. I made many nidorim, shenoidrin be'eis tzara, and therefore you, Hashem, always came through for me, and therefore it is my duty, my obligation, to fulfill my vows. Ulcha, to you, Hashem, I is the person who now have an obligation to Yeshulam. It should now be fulfilled, neder, my vows. That is seemingly the way all the Mefarshim learned this pasuk. That's the way the Mitzugah learned it. Look what the Mitzugah says. Ulecho Yeshulam neder, ki toishia lehanoidrim be'esara. You, Hashem, bring salvation to the people who make vows to you in times of difficulty, and therefore it is now my duty and our duty, v'shulam im kain haneder. The Malbim says, no, that's not Shah the Pasuk. That's too simplistic. And what's the word ulecha? What it means is, it's a very deep thing what the Malbim says. Really, you know, you always try to come and learn, what do we learn today? What new idea, novel idea do we learn today that we did not know yesterday? And this Malbim is something that Hashem doesn't make vows.
Hashem does not make vows.
Hashem never says, Hashem, there's no such thing by Kadosh Baruch Hu of if you'll do this, even that's like a, we have to calibrate the words very carefully. But by Hashem, there's no such thing as time, and there's no. Okay, you have to define each thing in words. Okay, let's try to read the words more precisely. Ava, look at the second to last line in the Malm. Ava l'cha, ein haneder al tenai. You have to read exactly what he says. There's no such thing as Hashem making a vow that he will do something for us if a condition is fulfilled.
That's the key. Just make conditions.
Conditions.
Promises.
Okay. Conditions.
Yes.
Okay, why? Look, he makes promises, but a promise is not a neder. See, the word neder, the Malbim is the ultimate authority on language, and the word neder, he's saying, there's a haftacha, there's a shavua,
yes,
a shavua, an haftacha, and there is a neder and nedava. All this week's parasha, last week's parasha, all different terminologies of, and each word has its own flavor. By Hashem, check out in Tanakh, do we ever find Hashem using the word, I make a neder? Ki hashbea, what does it say by the Akedah? By the Akedah, it says that Hashem swears. Hashem is always swearing. But Hashem never makes a neder. When you learn Masechta Nedarim, in the very beginning of the Masechta, you learn about the difference between a neder and a shavuah. A neder, there in the terminology, there are many differences. In the terminology of the Ran, a neder is the cheftza, and the shavua is the gavra, basically the brisker terminology. That's only one dimension. But but think about it, you don't find in Tanakh Hashem making nedarim. Hashem makes shavuos. So what is the difference? A neder, according to the Malbim, includes in its flavor of the meaning a condition. And a condition always involves time. Hashem is timeless. There's no such concept. Hoya hove v'yeh. So the concept of a neder with a condition that is plugged into moments of time doesn't exist by Hashem.
Don't
we
say the difference between
a
shavua
and
a bris?
There are many differences. You can't.
By a bris, it has to be done, no matter what. By a shavua, if you don't do what you have to do, I don't have to keep my end of the promise. And that's why they were allowed
okay.
to do certain things and go and fight because it was only a shavua and not a bris.
The shaloi shavuos, Zionism. Okay, shaloi shavuos, correct. Oh, so he says a different. So we read the Mitzudah stuff. That's trying to point out that the Malbim is saying a very different idea. Let's just finish up the Malbim. We'll go back to this in a second. The Malbim here is saying that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't find anywhere a concept of making a neder. Hashem does not make nedarim. Why? Because a neder includes within it two concepts, a tenai and time. Let's see again the words. Aval l'cho ein aneder al tenai. Rak, there's no tenai. Yeshulam taketh. It is fulfilled immediately. ki tishuascha bivadai tavai, ki atam muchan l'chol doshach, you are prepared for all those that seek you out, vishulam haneder takef gam lifnei milois hatnai. Okay, these are very hard words to really figure out what he's trying to say, but he seems saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't need conditions. When Hashem wants to do something, it's either he wants to do or he doesn't want to do. There are no conditions of if something will happen, then yes. If something will not happen, no. Hashem makes instant decisions. That's what it seems like. It's you're a good person, you seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it, you got it. I'm struggling to find words because I don't know what I'm talking about.
I think I understand what he says.
I listen.
Because the same way that he did with the Hilah and the Uriah, a neder is the noun here. He doesn't say to shalem et a neder. A neder yeshulam. Immediately.
Right.
Because lecha yeshulam neder. Atan nodeh. I say, I give now. Don't wait if. אצל יעקב כתוב, וידע יעקב נדר לאמור, אם יהיה אלוקים נדיף, מראה זה,
Okay, so Mr. Merrill is asking a very good question, but it says also, V'choyo im shamaya tishmu el mitzvah say, asher noch mitzvah eschama yom liyav v'shem lkech, mulev du b'chol v'am v'chol v'cholu, v'en v'nasati mitar atzcham mitar yorei malkosh. So at face value, at just a very simple understanding, there is a condition. There is a tanai. Mitzad Hashem. Hashem is making a tanai. Here,
but not you.
The Malbim. Okay, but Hashem is also making a tanai.
He,
the Malbim over here is saying he's bothered by the word Yishulam. Yishulam means it's complete before it even starts. And that's why the whole concept of a neder does not exist by Hashem. There's no in-between. And according to the Baal, you have to understand when it's the Hoya im Shemaya Tishmu, it's not a condition. Hashem, it's instant.
Isn't it in Hashem? Could be when you.
Oh, so when? Oh, so he's saying very good. The word im then in Kriya Shema, according to the Baal, means when. The Hoya im Shemaya. When you will listen to me, instantly you will put into motion blessing. Mr. Mills, you hear the difference? V'hoya im shamaya, according to the Malbim, does not mean if. It means when. When. There's no dilly-dally. There's nothing that's suspended. And that's when Yishulam, by a human being, there's something called a neder. By Hashem, there's something called Yishulam neder. You can't separate the word neder by HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the word Yishulam. And that's why the neder is really never used by Hashem. Because the word neder automatically means there's going to be some condition. And what is the difference? What is the difference, really? Think about it deeply. The difference between when, v'hoya im shamaya tishmu, when you listen, versus if you listen. Isn't, at the end of the day, it's really the same? At the end of the day, isn't it all the same? It's if you will listen, then you will receive reward. So what difference is there really between the word if and when?
When means that
means
you're
going to
do it.
The outcome of the
neder. Yishalam neder is the actual item that you
can take.
Yishalam neder is that prize at the end, or that
aid
at the end.
No, the difference is
that
by me, if.
Mordechai, one second. I'm going to listen to you. Let
Calman
say.
And it will be.
Mordechai wants to say something. Yeah?
The difference is, if is maybe you will do it, maybe you won't do it. If is if, you know, when is means you're going to do it, so when you do it, this is what's the story. But it's a very big difference. When means you have a haptacha, you're going to do it. When you do it means you're going to do it. You with me?
You cold?
It means maybe you will.
I know, but it sounds the same. I mean, what's the difference? The end result is.
I just said what the difference was.
It will be.
The difference is if it's if you're going to do it or not. That's the difference.
Let's see what happens, okay? Let's see what happens. Okay, Mordechai, I hear what you're saying. We're struggling.
What I'm saying is a haftorah, that is the difference.
A promise? But Hashem is good. Hashem is, if it would mean, if you will do this, then I will do that, Hashem's word is gold. It's the same avtacha. You can trust Hashem. If Hashem says, let's assume there is such a thing as if. If you will do A, then I will do B. Then so that's a promise.
And if you don't?
You want to say, and if you want to say if the connotation, that's the difference, and if you don't, that's the difference between the two?
Exactly, that's exactly.
He doesn't say that over here.
That's what it means.
I it's going a little bit far.
If you do this, and if you don't do that, it's a night couple.
It's going a little bit far. I don't know. Okay, I hear.
You know, if you're going to go, if you don't go ahead, then the deal's off.
I just want to add one more little point over here. That is a grammatical point, and then Shmuel Chashai picks up on, and also it definitely ties into this concept because it's a very difficult expression. What exactly does mean ulochoy yishulam neder? And according to the Radah, the Metsudos, he's saying the basic, simple interpretation of the pasuk: the subject of these three words is man. That David said, I had a lot of difficulty in life. I made many vows. Noidrin be'eis tzara. You, Hashem, were very kind and gracious, and you saved me. And now the time has come for me to pay up my vows. The Malbim did not like that interpretation. He felt that that is not true to the meaning of the words. There's something bothering the Malbim why he's taking these three words and he's saying something very philosophical and describing that by the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no such thing as a neder. There's no such thing because a neder, I'm just saying, throwing out words, because a neder has a tanai. And by Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing as a tanai. We're struggling to understand what this is exactly. And therefore, by Hashem, there's no neder, but instead it's called Yishulam neder. When Hashem says something's going to happen, either it happens or it doesn't. Why is the Malbim bothered? First of all, the word Yishulam is a little bit different than what we would expect. Ulecha Ashalem, according to the Metsudas David, Ulecha Oira, it should say, Ulecha to you, Ashalem Nidarai. I will... Yeah, well, it's also the future.
He doesn't want it.
This is also the future. According to the Mitzvah Stavit, this is the future. Ulecha Yishulam Neder. Okay, but there's another point here. And that is, if you look at the Mincha Shai, this is the end of a... We'll have grammar experts here in this year. A lot of grammar experts. This is the end of a pasuk. If you were writing the pasuk of Mordechai, what would you put under the Nun? This is very basic. At the end of the pasuk, ulecha yishulam nodar. The end of a pasuk, a soif pasuk, a segel changed into a komatz. And there are numerous examples. So why is there a segel? It's like in the middle of a pasuk. So look at the Mincha Shai. The Mincha Shai says, ulecha, where is the Mincha Shai? Ulecha d'miyasila, ulecha d'miyasila. Maybe turn to the next page. Or maybe this, I saw this in the Radak. Is that what the Radak? Let me just quickly find it. Let's look in the Radak. Then. Probably in the Radak. Yeah, the Radak. Neder. The Radak is also the big Baal Dikduk. He wrote the book on Dikduk, the Rab. He's the Sefer Michlal. He is the authority. Okay, I made it with the Mincha Shai is the authority on the Mesoira, on the spelling, the letters. But the Dikduk goes to the Sefer Michlal from the Radak. Neder. Kuloi Segol. Besoiv pasuk ki lo yishtaneh. I don't know what he means. Lo yishtaneh. Is that a perush, or was that he's just telling us that Hashem is saying, giving you an interpretation of why really it should say nodar, and the reason why there's a segol is because does it mean he's giving you interpretation because it never changes?
Yes.
What do you mean never changes? The duty of man to pay off his debts to Hashem. Let's read the Radak, the whole Radak. Ulecha Yishulam Neder, Nidrei Hazavachim, Shenoidrim B'nei Hagolus, Im Yishivim Hokel Litzion. Is exactly what the Mitzudos is saying. according to the Radak, the Radak is learning that the subject of these words is man. Klal Yisrael, we are in Golos. Golos is an Eis Tzara. Noidrin be'Eis Tzara. The Jewish people have taken vows upon themselves that if you, Hashem, will take us out of this Golos, we will reciprocate. We will do something for you. And when that ulcha to you, Hashem, Yishulam, when the Geula will come, then we will pay off our debts. Nidrei hazvachim shenoidrin b'nei ha-golos, if you, a Tanai, condition, if you, Hashem, Yishivei Mokel Litzion, then Yishulmu l'cha sham b'veis ha-mikdash. And then the Radak takes, so how come, if that's what the Pasuk means, so how come over here it says neder and not nodar? Okay, whatever it means. Obviously, I just want to point out there's a difficulty over here. There's a difficulty here in the grammar. There's a difficulty over here if the word Yeshulam for some reason doesn't feel right. And it's for that reason, it's pretty obvious that the Malbim is saying a radically different interpretation, which is touching upon some very, very philosophical ideas, which a big mumcha can probably give a big shear on explaining this concept. That by the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no such thing as a neder. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's something called a shavua, but not a neder. And why? Because, he's a terminology, because a neder automatically includes a tenai. What exactly is a tenai? Rav Mordechai is saying a tenai includes a tenai kofel, hein v'lav. There's a whole mesechta of what exactly is a neder. A shavua is different. There are two mesechtas. Mesechta Nedarim, Mesechta Shavuos, and there's a world of a difference between them, and many of the Mepharshim struggle exactly to define the nuances, the difference between the two, and this is exactly what the Pasuk is saying, that there's no such thing by the Ribbono Shel Olam as a neder, because a neder by Hashem is instantly paid off. By a neder, there is a time when there is a debt, there's a balance. You owe money. You borrow. I'm taking something from you, Hashem. And there's an intermediary period of where you have done something for me and I owe you. There's a point in the middle. By Hashem, there's no in the middle. There's no in the middle. It's either yes or no. And now how do we understand that logically? That's a tough sell. Okay, that requires, we're going to have to go for further. That requires, but it does not exist. Regarding you.
I already gave it to you.
Oh, so you see, you're touching upon something.
From you, it's a deal. There's no promise if. I gave it to you, when Hashem decided. But when we supposed to do something, and we say, I will give Hashem so much, Bet HaMikdash, whatever, Yeshulam never immediately. Don't wait if there's no if.
Yeah, but that was the Machlokes Avraham.
Lecha, no, the Yeshulam never immediately.
But that was the Machlokes, the Roye Mikne Avraham and the Roye Mikne Lot. And the Roye Mikne Lot said it was already given. It's already ours. It's already the property of Avram Avinu, and Avram has no Yerush, and Ephraim. And Avram said, no, it was not yet given. Oh, but Hashem said, I'm giving you the land. And over here, the Malbum says that when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no in between. It's either you got it or you don't. There's no balance, there's nothing in the middle.
Let me mention something.
Yes?
I heard many times drushes. That if a person is chas v'shalom in a eis tzara, or he has a problem, let's say he's in a foxhole and the barbs are coming, that he should make a neder that he's going to, in the future, do so and so, or he won't do so and so, and it helps right now.
Okay, that's a chazal, Yaakov Avinu. Vayidor Yaakov neder lemar mikan shenoidrin bi eis tzara.
So it helps, even though it's in the future.
That's for us.
Once he made the neder, he doesn't have to make the neder in the future. He makes the neder now.
Right, that's for us. That's exactly what we're trying to point out, that when we make a neder, there's a tonight. But by Hashem, we're saying there's no such thing as that. There's a yeshulam neder. Yeshul, there's something called a neder, and there's Yeshul on Neder, which means there is no Neder. Okay, let's go further. We have to go further. Okay, so this is the topic, something to think about. Next, now we come to a very famous pasuk, and we say this, Slichos, Shoimea Tefila Odecha Kol Bosor Yavo. Thank you, Rabbi Mordechai. Thank you very much. Shoimea, private comment. Shoimea Tefila Odecha Kol Bosor Yavo. Okay, the one who listens to prayer, the Shomeat Hashem, this would appear to be, add to our lexicon, all the different titles of Hashem. It would be a very nice project to go through the entire Tanakh and take every term and put into a book of all the different ways that the Ishi HaTanakh refer to Hashem. Besides the famous seven Shemois She'enam Nimchokim, okay, what stands high and above them all is Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's, you know, the Shem Havaya Baruch Hu. And then you have all the other six other Shemites of Hashem, which really are not necessarily Kodesh. But when you make it Kodesh, by having Kavana that it should be a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, automatically it is sacred, like Kel, Tzavokos, Elohim, Shakai. What did I leave out? Tzavokos. Okay, Tzvokois, Kel, Shakai, Elohim.
Shalom.
Shalom, not the same level. It's not from the Shema, same Chagma. And Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, correct. That's right. It's five. Okay, and we have one more. We're missing one more. There are a total of seven Shemois She'enam Nimchokim, which may not be erased. Six of those seven are used elsewhere in Tanakh. Chol, Kel. Yesh le'el yodi. So El means power. Okay? Ad ho Elohim yovo devar shenehem. Okay? The hosts of heaven. The tzva'os ha-shamayim. Hosts has nothing to do with Hashem. But these words, when they are used in reference to Hashem, become sacred. Like Adonai, Eliezer. Shakai is also not necessarily, there are other uses of a Shakai, if I'm not mistaken, but when we use it in reference to Hashem, it becomes holy. But then there is Yud Kei Vav Kei, Havaya, and that's in the league to itself. Havaya is in a league to itself, and everything else is secondary, and then there comes the third tier. The third tier are just like Ribonoi Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalom. These are terms which we can say them. You can say Shalom Hamokim, Baruch Hamokim. You can say Hamokim. You can say Ribono Shalom. These are the third tier of references to Hashem. But the truth being is, it's not there. There are a lot more than just the famous ones of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malachim Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You have over here something like this, Shemea Tefila. It's a beautiful expression. The Ribono Shalom is called by a term. He is the Shemea Tefila. That is who he is. That is a definition of Hashem. He listens to prayer. He listens to prayer. Shemea Tefila Odecha. We use it, right? So here, but here in this pasuk, we're using it as a term. As a term, like you would say in this pasuk, Ribono Shel Olam, Odecha Kol Basar Yavo. Melech Malchei Hamlochim. Odecha kol basar yavo. It's been used here as a term to describe a midah, one of Hashem's numerous, infinite midahs. Shomea tefila, the one who listens to prayer. Odecha to you, kol basar yavohu, they shall come, they shall arrive. Let's see the mitzudos. That is a very famous pasuk. It's kedai. Okay, let's see.
The Ancient of Days.
Okay, let's see. Let's see what it says in the Mitzudos David, Shomea Tefila, Ki Al Ki Ato Shomea Tefila. You, Hashem, are the one who listens to prayer. Lozeh, therefore, Yovo Elecha Kol Basar Lehispalel Lefanecha. Now, what's this word, Odecha? It's not such a common word. Odecha, Elecha, Tiga tiga odecha. Okay. Ad, you want to say means comes from ad, ad elech, to come positive two words. It's a chiddush. You're saying a chiddush. It says ad elech until you. Okay, that's an idea. I hear what you're saying. You're saying the shurish is the word ad. Ad. Okay? Let's see what it says over here in the. I marked down a few things here. Did I mark anything down over here? Let's see the radak. The radak is an important radak. Okay, mark this down. Shemea tefila. Visham tiye visham there. Where is there? And the radak you have to appreciate is going l'shita soy. Every mefarish always has to, you have to connect what he says later in the mizmor, especially when you have a long, complex mizmor to his hakdama. The hakdama to the radak was that this mizmor was said in reference to golos. Golos. We are now in golos. And in golos we suffer. And we make nidorim. We make vows. Noidrin be'esara. And the radak says, ulucha yishulam neder. And when the golus will come to an end and we will come to the Beis HaMikdash, then and there, we will pay off our debt of the nedarim that we have made to you, Hashem, during golus. And as a continuation, we say, v'sham, and there, when we come to the geula, the Beis HaMikdash, tiye shemeya hatefila. Ki al hagolus nema, because he's going back to what he said. Now this is something very, very powerful what he's saying over here. This is a very Tisha B'Av chidushim here. Sosam tefilasi. Golus, in golus, we unfortunately deal with the fact that Hashem does not listen to our prayers. The word sosam, sin saf mem, it has been shut out. It has been shut down. Hashem does not want to listen. That's what it says in Eicha. And this is the main reason, this pasuk, why we do not say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av. We say this over. And this is the reason why on Tisha B'Av we do not say in Kaddish at night and by day, Tiskabel Tziloy Sohain. May you, Hashem, accept our prayers. That's the most important part of davening. The most important thing a person should mechavein during davening from the Shliach Tzibur is when he says the Kaddish Shalem, and he says that line, Tiskabel Tziloy Sehoin Uva'u Sehoin Dechol Beis Yisrael Kodom Avohon Di V'Shmaya V'Imru Amen. We ask you, Hashem, to accept our prayer. Accept it. Tisha B'Av, we read Eicha. And in Eicha, what does it say? Sosam Tefilasi. It has been silenced. It has been shut down. It has been canceled. Hashem is not in the mood to listen to our prayer. Therefore, it would be a chutzpah for us to say to Hashem, Tiskabel Tziloy Sehoin, when Hashem does not want to listen to our prayer. So we don't say it. Number two, we don't fall Tachanun. Because Tachanun is the ultimate prayer. It is by far, it is the Hashlama of the Shmoneh Esrei. You top off the Shmoneh Esrei by falling Tachanun in order to, like, you know, give a boost to your prayer. You moisten nefesh, you have to say to yourself, you're willing to die for Hashem. It's like the Tiskabel of Tefillah. So that's why many people, they very much want to say Tachanun. Could you imagine such a person? I think of a Ryzen one says that he can't wait. He always yearns for the second day of Chodesh Iyar. Can't wait. Because a whole month without saying Tachanun. A whole month. Oy, it's so depressing. The koyach of tefillah is to say Tachanun, to fall in the tefillah sapayim. How can you take that away from a person? Can't wait to say Tachanun. Some people, that's why, you know, Pesach Sheni. Of course you say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. Even in Lag BaOmer. Some people, I don't know who they are. These people, I don't know who they are, but supposedly out there in the world, there are some people who don't say to say Tachanun on Lag BaOmer. Nachem, right, but not by Rashbi. Only by the Kever.
No, and he said it.
Right. But the story, he's lost his children. I know the stories of him, but that was only at the Kever. he came to the kever of Meron. He came to the kever by the kever of Meron, and Rashbi told someone, you know, came back to life, all these mystical stories, tell that person who's saying Nachem, he will need Nechama. Because how dare you say Nachem in my makam, which means outside the kever, you can do whatever you want. But in my presence, the story is only that you, at the kever of Rashbi in Meron, there you don't say Tachna. But Chutz Li'aretz, so even in Eretz Yisrael, not in the Dalet Amos of Rashbi, that he never said. That he never said. That's in his Oiz V'chedva B'mekoymai. In my makom, there's no Tachna. Outside of my makom, then you do whatever you want. In any event, this pasuk, now this is a very beautiful pshat.
On the bus from Monroe, they had a minyan on the bus every day from Monroe, you know, to Manhattan. So I once complained that they didn't say Taplin. He says, oh, you're a Taplin bug.
Oiz v'chedva b'mekoymai.
On the importance of the importance of the Taplin.
Of course, the Gemara says the whole maisa with the wife. Gamliel, the Maizah Gamliel, he was deposed, and his brother-in-law and his wife used to prevent him from saying Tachnun, because the Tachnun would kill her brother. Exactly. All right, but going back, this is a very beautiful Radak. The Radak is taking, first you have to appreciate the Hakdama to the Radak.
Rabbi Eliezer died because he had married the wife.
Correct. So Shomea Tefila, let's read the Radak. V'sham tiyeh Shomea Tefila ki al agolus nemar, sosam tefilasi. We do not recite Tachnun on Tisha B'Av. Why? So if you'll ask the common men, I'll tell you, it's a moed. Kora alai moed lishbar bachurai. It's a yomtif. Really? It's a yomtif? Really? Really? I don't see it being a yomtif. It's a day of tragedy. It's a pretty serious day of tragedy. But it's the pasuk says, kora alai, my enemies designated this time as a set time. That's a pshutashol mikra. Kora alai moed lishbor bachurai. My enemies, okay, designated. My enemies dedicated. Okay, we have here an oil of here. We have to. Okay, that's the Jewish. That's Jewish. Pshat is kora alai moed lishbor bachurai. Okay. Well, let me say this. My enemies designated this day to destroy my young men. That's the pshuta shel mikra. There's a beautiful drush that lo osel lavo. There's going to be a geula, and it says in the Zechariah that the days of avelus, the tzoim hachamishi, will be nepach to sosin v'simcha. So in the future, as Rabbi Mordechai just said, it will be nepach to sosin v'simcha. That's a drush. But the pshuta shel mikra is a day of tragedy. So day of tragedy, you say Tachnun, day of tragedy. So how come we don't say Tachnun? It's the other extreme. It's because Hashem doesn't want to hear us. I know, I'm not interested in listening to you today.
That's why they affect us in Yom Kippurim. On Yom Kippurim,
yeah.
They said, now is a good time.
That in modern times, they said the same thing as well. The Goyim, Yom Kippur War, and Yom Kippur. So therefore, we do not say Tachna. Hashem does not want to listen to us. Sosam tefilasi. We do not recite Tachna, and that's why we don't wear tefillin. Because tefillin, what is the tefillin is the Beloshon Rabbim in Aramaic. What is the singular for tefillin? A tefillah. When you wear tefillin when you daven, because tefillin is Miloshon tefillah. It is kibesi base tefillah l'chol amen. So Tisha B'Av, you don't wear tefillin because of this pasuk of sosam tefilasi. Hashem shut down my prayers. No tachnun, no tiskabel, and no tefillin. Three things you do not do on Tisha B'Av because of this pasuk. No tefillin, because tefillin represents the intensity. Like no tefillin, like the antenna. If you want to broadcast, you want to broadcast. You have to have service. You have to have cell phone service. You want to go talk to someone. The tefillin is the cell phone service. It's the antenna. If there's no prayer, there's no need to have a router with something sticking out, you know, to transmit your signal. So three things you do not do on Tisha B'Av. no tefillin, no tachnun, and no teskabel tzeloisayin. Why? Because of this pasuk. So now we can appreciate with that hakdama, you can appreciate what this pasuk really is saying according to the Radak. Visham, when Moshiach will come and the Geula will be present, then guess what? Then the gates of prayer will once again be open. And then it will be Shaymea Tefillah. The service has been restored. Cellular service to the Ribbono Shel Olam has been restored. Shaymea Tefillah, the signal is on, all the lights are blinking on your router. And now there will be every single last person will now go on their phone, go and dive into Hashem. Adecha kol basar yavo. It's a beautiful pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk is only understood against the backdrop of understanding the mizmar is dealing with galus, and in galus we are suffering from this principle called sosam tefilasi. And now that the geula will come, visham adecha kol basar yavo kamo yavo kol basar l'shachas l'vanecha. Period. Then he says something else. The Adoni Avi Zal, he often quotes his father, Radak Perush, L'chodumiyah. Now he goes back to the beginning of the Pasuk. Lo min lo dama e lov, kiloima, L'cholavadcha nove vese ois hatihila shemahalim l'cha. Ki yoise yesh b'cha mima shemahalim l'cha. He's going back to what we learned before. Avo ma shemahalim Ben Adam, Bigvurasai, Ibarashai, Ibrahamasai, Ain Hatahila, Hatahila, Shlema Bo, Ki Ain Hatahila, Love and Adam, Beloy. This, I marked this off, I put three check marks here. Beloy Kazov, without a lie. In other words, he's saying something a little bit different than we learned yesterday. Something different in this pasuk is, Luchatahila, we're going backwards. Whenever you praise Hashem, whatever you said, even if it's faint praise, even if it's a fraction, At least it's true. If you say something nice about Hashem, on the one hand, it may be a bit of an insult because it's faint praise, but at least it's true. Any nice thing you say about Hashem is true. It's emes. But any nice thing you say about a human being, it's more likely it's sheker, or it's an exaggeration. Okay, a person is brilliant. Come on, he's not so brilliant. He's average. Someone used to always say that to me. Someone said to me, someone told me, they said that you're smart. I don't even know who would say that about me. He says, I don't want to let you know. You're not nothing special. The most is your average. I said, wow, that's the biggest compliment I can possibly get, that you're average. Most people wouldn't even say that. So you're trying to insult me? You're giving me a nice compliment. A person says anything that you say about a person is almost always a lie. There's always inflation. Inflation in titles, yeah. What?
Flattery.
So that's why, therefore, L'cha, to you, Hashem, do me. So how does he tie this over here? One more time, the words over here. When it says, L'cha levadcha nove seyois hati. The word dama means not silence. Perish l'chodubia min loy dama elav comparison. We have now a third interpretation. Kolayma l'cholavatcha nove v'se'ois hatihila shemesvalim l'cho ki yoyse yesh b'cho v'ma shemahalim ba l'cho shemahalim l'cho aval ma shemahalim shemahalim ben adam b'gvir osay v'yashay v'chakim osay ain't he l'l shlema ki ain hatihila. So therefore, if I'm not mistaken, what he seems to say is the word dama means we can compare. We can be medame. We had already three interpretations so far. Doim means either silence. Number two, it means to yearn. Hope. Toicheles. Sit tikva. Hope. L'cha to you, a hopeful yearning. This is the ultimate praise. The ultimate praise is to say, Ani man be'munah shlem v'yes ha-mashiach v'afal pi she'yismameya im kol zeh achak eloi. b'chol yom shayavo. According to what we learned, I forgot who said this on the yesterday, this is the greatest praise you can give to Hashem. The greatest praise, l'cha, to you Hashem, domia, to wait, to yearn, to hope for Hashem, to have faith in Hashem's salvation, this is tehillah, the purest form of praise. To put your faith and hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other interpretation is, the less you say, the better. Whatever you say is going to be faint praise. And now we have the Radak's interpretation from his father. To you, we can associate the word praise. Let's translate the word domia, means to be doime, which means similar. We can associate the concept of praise with you, Hashem. Because it's true. Any nice thing you say about Hashem is a mess. Any nice thing you say about a person, it's likely it's a lie. It's flattery. It's exaggeration. There's elements that are not true. So it's not appropriate to associate the concept of praise with a human being, but to associate the concept of praise with Hashem, yes, that is emes. Three mahalchim in the taich of the word dumia. Okay, then he goes on, he says what we said before, we did it already. Let's take a look over here. I want to go look over here at the Mamari Chazal. The Mamari Chazal on Pasuk Gimel, on back on page 554. Shomea tefila adecha kol basar yavo, melech basar v'dam yotzi l'muchama. This is a very interesting concept. Very interesting. This is beautiful Chazal. Melech basar v'dam, when a king is going to war. And as the king is passing, he's going to war, there are some people in the street. Oh, the king is passing. Let's go and do a kabbalas panim and ask him for a favor. We need help. We'll go and we'll ask him for a favor. So what do you say? You guys, the king is in the middle of a war. He has more important things to do now than go and take a picture with you. Can we take a selfie with you? The king is passing, right? The general is passing. The general. Oh, can you stop? Can we take a selfie? Excuse me, buddy. There's a war going on. Let's first finish the war and win the war, and we'll have our ticker tape parade. Then we'll have selfies with all the people who want to go take pictures, all the grandmothers. But right now, we got a war. The Ribbono Shel Olam, when he goes to war, he stops off and he takes selfies with people. That's what this pasuk over here is saying, according to the Maamar Chazal. It's an incredible insight. A melech boss is going to war, and there are nations that are coming to him. Ah, the king is coming. Let's go ask him for a picture. So what is the entourage? What do the people of the secretary of the king say? Get lost. The king now is in war. Vehein oimim lohem zofu. Lamulcham hu yotze. What does it mean, the word zof? He's angry. He's not in the frame of mind for right now to take with you a picture. Lamulcham hu yotze. Lich sheyinatzeach b'mulcham v'yashuv. Bon atem v'shel mitzorchem b'lefonav. Wait. There's a time for everything. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Enekein Ella Hashem Ish Milchama. Even when Hashem is in the middle of fighting a war, Hashem Shemai. Hashem is available. He's available to anyone that wants to stop and have a conversation with him. This is the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he wants to fight. The Chazal goes right there. That's the Pshat in this pasuk. Shuhu shomea tzaakas kol boy oylam shnema shomea tefila. And that's how he says the Pshat in this pasuk. We said before, what's the word? Odecha. Odecha kol bosor yovo. It would seem that according to this Maimer Chazal Michilta, the word odecha has a connotation of people coming to you at the worst time possible. On to you. There's a word, you come to a person at the appropriate time. Esakol also yofe b'yitoy. The word adecha, it seems, is a unique word to come to a person at the wrong time, or any time. Like, right now is not the right time. You ever see someone at a wedding? I have a big chashvata, a rosh shiva. He gets up, mechubit, haraf, hagoyin, so-and-so, to be mechubit, sidur kedushin. And the rosh shiva, he comes up. And as he's coming up, someone from the audience intercepts him. Oh, rosh shiva, shalom aleichem. How are you doing? You know, maybe you can help me. Maybe you can give me a donation for my yeshiva. Fool. He's on the way now up the steps under the chuppah to be Masad the Kedusha. Now is not the time when you disturb him and when everyone is watching and the cameras are rolling and the person is getting married. Now is not the time for you to interrupt him. Right? That's exactly. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, you can do it. You can do it. When Hashem is busy bringing Mashiach, Hashem is busy, what does Hashem do the whole day? He makes Shidduchim half the day. Is nothing more important than that. Hashem is busy. In the middle of Hashem being busy with the most important thing, you can intercept him. Odecha, kol basar yavahu. I need something from you. Any time is a good time to intercept HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle and have a conversation with him. That l'choyre is the uniqueness of the term odecha. On to you at any time, any place, anywhere.
It's more than that. Usually, when you go to the president or some, or talk to my secretary, talk to my assistant or something.
Always available.
I go directly to Hashem and not through intermediaries. Adecha. To you all. When I daven, I daven Baruch Hashem.
Anytime, there's no intermediary. You don't need an appointment. You don't need an appointment. You don't need an appointment. Okay, one more thing over here. Michamoch, I only saw this because of a joke, the next part. I really want to, we're running out of time over here. The Elu Shachedim Karina, so another drasha, new drasha. Michamoch Bo Elim Hashem. Who is like you amongst the Elim? This is really going back with the previous part. Who's like you amongst the Elim? Elim literally means the mighty. El. Yesh le'el yodi. Who is like you amongst the mighty? So the Gemara darshins be'elu shachedim karm oisan el elohois. The goyim, they look at wood and stone and they say, "Oh, this is a god." Mativan, what is their nature? Oznayim lohem v'lo yishmohu. Okay, yadayim lohem v'lo einayim lohem v'lo yiru oznayim lohem v'lo yishmohu af. They have a nose, they don't smell. Someone said, I don't understand. Look at these yeshiva guys. They have their eyes closed and they're shuckling back and forth with such intensity. So I understand when they're saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. I understand. When they're saying B'tzeis Yisrael, Mitzray, Beis Yaakov, Me'am Loz, Hoysu Yidl Kachar. I understand they're closing their eyes. They're in deep meditative thought. My question is, what are they thinking when they say about Avodah Zarah? Yodayim lohem v'lo, inayim lohem v'lo yiru, oznayim lohem v'lo yishmo. What's there to think about the Avodah Zarah? There's a whole mizmah that talks about all the different body parts of the Avodah Zarah. They don't work. What's the groisa kavana? What's the big kavana that you close your eyes and you shuckle with such a hislavos? What are they thinking? I don't know. I have no idea. But over here, mi chamoich vel Hashem, all the idols as nayim lachem v'lo yishmohu. Avol mi shamar v'hoi ha'olam, einay kein ela shoymea tefila odecha kol basar yavohu. Hashem has ears, Hashem listens, Hashem sees, Hashem knows. Everything, odecha kol basar, l'chori this, what's very interesting about all these mefarshim is the way they learn pshat in the pasuk is they set up a backdrop. They set up a backdrop. It's like a diamond. A diamond is only beautiful if it has the proper setting. You can have the most beautiful diamond, and you have to have a setting for the diamond. Sometimes the setting can cost even more than the diamond. Okay, you have a small little diamond. You know, it's not a big diamond. You can make it beautiful by having a beautiful setting. I'll end up with a joke about a dharma in a second. Someone told me a great story. I won't finish. But you, the way you learn, this is a theme. This, you know, after you learn, you look at all the mafashim. What do all the mafashim really do? What are they all to say? Pshat and the pasuk. They spend a lot of time creating a setting, a backdrop. And then you take the pasuk and you put the pasuk in front of the, oh, now I understand the pasuk. You read this pasuk. Shomea tefila adecha kol basar yavo. What does that mean? So, okay, you can translate the words. You learn. The backdrop is sosam tefilasi. The base hamigdash is this, Hashem says no more prayer. And now, shomea tefila. Reboot. All the lights on the router are now blinking. It's on. Power up. Shomea tefila. We got power. We have Wi-Fi. The connection is live. Oh, there's a thirst. Kol basar, adecha kol basar yavohu. Here as well, all of the avodah zara, garbage. They have eyes, they don't see, ears, they don't hear, nose doesn't smell, the hands don't feel, the legs don't walk. Garbage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the real deal. Shemeya tefila. Oh, the thirst. You see people running for help. Adecha kol basar yavo. You got to paint the backdrop in order to appreciate. Okay, we'll finish you a joke to end off, even though it's a solid joke first, but this is a really good story. Someone told me this is a true story. It happened, a teacher, a woman told me, she was a teacher in a girl's school. When the story happened, there was no learning the whole day. The teachers, they only wanted to talk about the story. It's a terrible story. I can't hold back. They mentioned the stone in the back. A boy got engaged to a girl. A very good boy. It's a very tragic story. A very good boy, and he was very happy with the shechan. Then the family, they were disappointed, gave her the engagement ring. And the family was disappointed that it was a very small stone. And they felt it wasn't lefi kavod of the mishpacha that the boy should give. I don't even know the terminology, how many carats it was. It wasn't lefi the honor of the family. All right, okay, they swallowed their pride. But somehow, the complaint was there, and chavre islay, one person told another, and somehow it got back to the boy. That, you know, such a chosh of a girl, you should have given her a bigger stone. This is a nasty story. And supposedly, it's a true story. And, you know, you should have given her a bigger stone. Okay. The boy swallowed his pride, whatever. And they know they're engaged, so he took her out on a date, you know. Just because you're engaged doesn't mean you stop going on dates. So he took her out of the gate, picked her up, and he took her to Coney Island, right across the street from Chaim Berlin, next to Rav David Cohn Shul Gul Yavitz. There's a big monument store. He gets out of the car and he walks in with her to the mine. What kind of crazy date is this? He goes to whoever wanted a date on a monument store. And he says, I heard you want a big stone. look around. Have a nice day. And he walks out, gets into the car and goes home. He broke up the shidduch. He broke off the shidduch, and that's how he broke off the shidduch. What a story. So someone told me in a certain very chosh for girl school in this neighborhood, this story happened about 15 years ago. 15 years ago. And this story, someone came, this story broke. So he says, that day when the story broke, all of the teachers could not teach. They were stunned. Because I guess the girl somehow was connected to connected. They were stunned. It was stoned. And there was a major debate. They were stunned over this story, and there was just discussion, and they let the students fend for themselves. Okay. Okay, let's take a short break, and then we're going to start learning a little about Shavuos.